Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Price. Well, actually, we haven't started yet. We're just about ready to, though, to visit with our good friend Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Now we're ready. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Boy, I'm ready. Hello there, Jim.
It's good to have you back. How are
Thanks,
the cherry
good
blossoms?
To be back.
I need a cherry blossom report.
Well, they apparently are perfectly on target. They're just beginning to appear, and I think they're supposed to be at peak in just about a week, which will be smack in the middle of the Cherry Blossom Festival.
The annual
Cherry Blossom Marathon is Sunday, and that, I think, kicks everything off.
A week from Sunday. Is that right? A week from Sunday?
Well, the Cherry Blossom Marathon kicks off this Sunday.
Oh, this Sunday.
And that starts the week of festivities,
apparently. Oh, I got you. I'm with you. Okay. Well, you know, has in the history of the cherry blossoms and the festival, have they ever coincided?
Almost never. Well, you know, we had such a cold, I think having a cold February helped, and the first part of March was kind of cold, so that kept things from happening too quickly.
Well, now, here's a question I've been wanting to ask you, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Bradford pear is a fraud, right? Because there are no pears on a Bradford pear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
On the cherry blossom.
But they're so pretty.
On the cherry, yeah, they're beautiful, but there are no pears.
You're going to ask if there are any cherries in the cherry blossom?
On these cherry blossom trees.
Hmm.
Have you ever gone and picked the cherries off of them?
No, I haven't. But now I haven't tried.
There? See, I think this is just the joke that Japan played on us. It's the joke that Japan played on us when they gave them these
right.
things. They said, did we give them the good ones? They said, heck no. Let's give them the ones that won't produce any fruit.
Yeah, but at least they gave us the pretty ones.
Well, maybe so. Okay, so anyway, I've always wondered about. I've always wanted to go pick the cherries off the cherry blossom trees.
Well, you will always find the cloud and the silver lining, won't you?
The glass is always half empty for me, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of which, a little bit of current events, Joan. This thing that's happening in Iran right now.
Yes, with the
these
British
sailors. Amjadon, does anybody doubt now? Is there anybody on planet Earth that doesn't believe that this guy is a whack job?
Oh, I hope they understand it.
He is, isn't he? I mean,
he's pretty scary.
And of course, you saw it. And if, folks, if you're wondering what this has to do with small business, look at the price of oil this week.
Right, that's right.
It spiked. There was one mention of a possible missile. The missile rumor, they tell me, and oil spiked $5 a barrel.
See, that'll do it.
Yeah.
And that's what we've talked about.
And folks, I'm not saying this. I don't want you to get hysterical about this. But there are people who claim to know what they're talking about. I think they're overplaying the thing a little bit. But saying that you know, we could be looking at $5 a gallon gas this summer. I don't think that's the case. For one thing, we don't get any gas from Iran. They don't even produce their own gasoline.
Right.
So and other countries can step up and replace Iran oil if need be. But what I think they're worried
really
about.
Something really tremendous would have to happen to have $5 gasoline.
Right, exactly. But what they're worried about is the Strait of Hormuz, which is a little peninsula of the Arabian continent that sticks out there, subcontinent that sticks out there. You know, it kind of makes a little jog up there by the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
And Oman, and so that's a little narrow place up there. And about 20% of the world's oil goes through that strait every day.
Okay.
And so they're worried about that kind of thing because Iran's right over there on the other side of it.
Right.
But I mean, the thing is what the guy has proven is that he's capable of anything.
That's the scary part.
Right. I'm disappointed that the British didn't fight back when those guys were taken.
I mean, there was an opportunity to.
I don't know.
I don't know what the situation was.
Maybe not. You may be right. I just.
I'm not saying there wasn't. I just don't know.
I hope the British don't let this thing drag on like we did under Carter, 444 days. I hope that this doesn't drag on like that. But this is 100%. Anybody who believes, Joni, you think anybody believes that this was a violation of international of their waters and they had a right to do this?
I can't imagine that people do, but
this is just another one of his tricks that he's trying.
Provocations,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, Joan, if you remember the first of the year, one of my predictions was, and I've never been so prescient in my life. I don't know how I came up with this prediction, but I predicted. I just had a feeling that there was going to be a showdown between Ahmadinejad and President Bush this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure looks that way.
And I think it's going to happen. And I don't know. I don't think Ahmadinejad needs to get the idea that the U.S. being bogged down in Iraq and the British wanting to pull out. I don't think he needs to underestimate our joint resolve to not let him jerk us around. What do you think?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, do you think? What do you think we'll do? Do you think we'll blink, or do you think we'll take action, Joan?
Ooh, well, that's it depends on what you mean by take action.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to start another war. I'm not in favor of that. But
I don't think we have the capability at this point.
Well, no, I disagree with you, Joan. I think we have the capability. I don't know that we have the will. That's the question, I think. No, I think we've got the assets. I think we could do it. But it's just a tough situation. And Joan, is there any doubt in anybody's mind now that we actually, because of people like Ahmadinejad and Chavez and the noodle head over in North Korea, that we live in a dangerous world?
Well, boy, I hope everybody agrees about that.
And
even if they disagree about the solutions.
Exactly. Thank you. Very well said. I mean, we can't be naive about these idiots, can we?
Right.
So anyway, it's a scary thing that is what's going on. And by the way, my prayers certainly go out to the 14 who are being held.
Yeah, and their families.
Exactly, yeah. And including the young lady who's being held there.
That's right.
And you know, for a while they said they were going to release the lady.
And they haven't.
And now they're saying that maybe we won't do that.
Ugh.
So it'll be interesting. Hey, Joan, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the war funding.
Letter?
The Kiplinger letter, yeah.
Ooh.
And the war funding that you guys report. And we have some news on that, don't we?
Yes,
in that
we do.
Area. What Congress is doing about the war funding. You know, now, folks, we have 535 little generals on Capitol Hill who think they know how to fight a war. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 23 after the hour. That's Mr. Mark Knopfler on lead guitar there. Dire Straits, in case you didn't recognize it. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And now, Joan, you'll be happy to know, I want to talk about the Kiplinger letter.
Oh, boy.
Aren't you excited?
That's great. That's what you pay me to do.
You're all a Twitter, aren't
yeah.
you? By the way, I'll go ahead and pay you for that first segment, even though we talked about other things.
Oh, gee, thanks.
I won't dock your pay, by the way.
Appreciate that.
Joan, am I overstating it? Am I being a little too sarcastic? You know, and you know how hard that is for me to be sarcastic.
You? Absolutely.
Am I being sarcastic and overstating the case when I say that there seems to be 535 little generals on Capitol Hill who think they, in their infinite wisdom, know how to fight the war in Iraq better than anybody else?
I'm a little afraid to comment on that statement. It sounds rather political.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it does.
Me? Political?
Yeah.
I would never do. Well, no, I mean, I'm talking, Joan, I didn't say the majority of, in both houses, I said 535. That's all of them, including the independents.
That's right. I know. That's right.
That's not political. I mean, my brush is broad. When I want to diss a politician, I have a broad brush, Joan.
Well, but you're also talking about how the president is conducting the war, and I think there's probably Republicans who would support him.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're probably right. But
really?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You
you're right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the thing is, my attempt at hyperbole didn't work, folks. But anyway, the thing is there are people in the history of our country. I can't remember a time when Congress did this. Maybe they did it some during Vietnam. I don't remember. But there is a big debate raging over war funding, isn't there, Joan?
Oh, no question about that.
And what's the news?
Well, I think are we at the point where both houses have approved legislation,
and
now
so.
They have to go to conference and come up with one bill to send to the president, who has promised to veto it if there is a pullout date in, mm-hmm. in the legislation as there is now, and I believe both bills.
Mm-hmm. Just as at least temporarily violence is easing in the Al Anbar province, where most of the violence has been for a couple of 3 years now, just as that is easing and the buildup seems to be working, we don't know whether it's going to be long-term or not, but just as all that's happening, the Congress wants, at least many, seemingly a majority in Congress, wants to put restrictions on how long we can be in Iraq if they give President Bush the money he wants, right?
The two are being tied together. That's right.
Mm-hmm. But Joan, aren't there some other things being tied up in that whole package?
Yes, in order to get some oinky stuff. Right,
and
well, they didn't just do it for fun. They did it because they needed votes, and they were desperate for votes, I guess, in some cases. So they added pieces of pork into meeting items specific to certain members' districts mm-hmm. into the legislation.
Mm-hmm. So we've got lots of different pork projects that are being added on to get people to vote for this thing. You know, Joan, you know, regardless of which side of the issue anybody may be on, isn't that unseemly that we have to? And I know this is how government works, and people say all the time, you don't want to see sausage or government work. And I also add into that radio, you don't want to see that work, how that works either. But isn't there something unseemly about giving somebody $25 million to help the some particular industry to get a vote to not support our troops? That's the way it hits me. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm probably too jaded to see that anymore because that, like you just said, you answered your own question. That's the way government works. That's the way politics works.
Well, and you know what? I get that when it doesn't involve our military. And Joan, as you know, I'm probably a little too close to that issue to be as objective as I should be about it.
Right. Well, look at it this way. Let's say there was a person who honestly, faithfully believed that we should be getting out of Iraq, giving our troops the funds in, but getting out at the same time.
Right.
They may feel that for the greater good, they have to allow some of this pork.
Well, okay, I guess what I'm getting at is so important. Well, I agree with you, but if they feel that way, they shouldn't have to have pork to get their vote. If they've got to give them, that's the unseemly part. If you've got to give me some meat pork, if I'm on the fence, or if I'm trying to hold out for a pet project to get some pork, and I'm saying, well, you know, I don't think I know how I'm going to vote on this thing, and you say, well, I'll tell you what if I give you some tennis courts in your district? I say, okay, I'll vote for that then. That's just unseemly to me, Joan.
Okay, well.
And I don't know any other way to say it. But Joan,
so it would be less unseemly to let your bill die that you thought was important for the country and the planet?
I'm not saying
I mean, it's cool. But who are we talking about,
Joan? Are we talking about the people who are accepting the pork, who are taking the bribe almost to vote on this thing?
I'm talking about the people who are trying to get the bill passed.
Ah, I got you. I see what you're saying. No, I understand that they're using the tools that they have. The unseemly part are the people who are taking the bribe, so to speak, taking the pork.
But they may they're doing something good for their district.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they should do it on the back of this project. That's the part that bugs me. Stand by, Joan. Quick break. Good comments, by the way. She and I will be right back. Joan and I will be after these messages. 29 after the hour. There's too much confusion.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out and for using it to your advantage. I hope it helps you. And if you will use it, if you'll take advantage of the resources that we make available and the new stuff that we're going to be telling you about real soon, I believe it will help you have the maximum opportunity to stay out of the business obituaries. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, moving on a little bit with the letter, still on page one, though, is some good news about Iraq. You guys say that you think Maliki, the prime minister, who's been kind of a challenged leader, that he actually might weather what's going on over there right now.
Right, and the violence is easing in many areas. Regional peace efforts are really getting going. And we do say that Maliki is probably going to stay on.
And there's a new program that Steve Forbes first mentioned on my show probably more than a year ago. It was the first time I'd ever heard anybody talk about it. And that's this oil revenue sharing agreement. Do you know about that?
Well, as we say, it's the key to keeping the peace.
Yeah.
I guess it's not a done deal yet. They're going to send a draft proposal up in May. And we say it's, you know, it could unravel, but if it works, it would be really important.
And Joan, do you know the model that this is shaped after?
No, I don't.
The Alaska model.
Now
every Alaskan citizen once a year gets a check from the oil and gas revenue of that country, of that state. And so over a year ago, Steve Forbes on this show said if they would launch the Alaska model over in Iraq, where all the revenue, not all the revenue, but much of the revenue could be split up from oil and gas in Iraq and given to every citizen, that would give them a nationalistic, hopefully try to build some kind of nationalism in the area. It would give everybody some income. It would help them with launch their small businesses and it would help them, you know, to develop a little more of a consumer-based economy, which is good for, as you know. So I'm glad to see. So, Joan, even though the buildup, the truth is, the buildup probably isn't enough people. But if the stars could align a little bit, and I'm trying to play the Pollyanna Glad game here, I guess, Joan.
But giving you a lot of material.
No question about it. If we could get a few of these things, these stars to align, you know, the Jupiter, aligns with Mars, and the moon's in the seventh house or whatever.
Right.
We could get all that stuff lined up. Maybe, just maybe, that, you know, this could be an opportunity for the Iraqis to earn the sacrifice that's been made for them. What do you think?
I agree with you, and yet I worry because you just said something very interesting in your last statement. You said the Iraqis.
Yeah.
What worries me is people still see themselves as either Shia, Sunni, or Kurd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the nationalism
Iraqis.
Element, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need them to start thinking of themselves as Iraqis. And Joan, I actually believe, I'm not naive about that. I think that may be too much to ask of them. To really feel completely Iraqi and not Sunni, not Shia, not Kurd, they're going to always feel that way, right?
Yeah. As you point out, maybe there's a way for them to see, you know, for their own self-interest, that it helps for them to behave in a more nationalistic rather than tribal way.
Even if they have to sort of live in two universes.
Yeah. Right.
You see my point?
Okay.
Where they have one part of them is Iraqi, and they see the benefit of behaving as an Iraqi in certain, you know, in certain ways, their behavior is voting, obeying laws and demanding, you know, the government to perform a certain way as an Iraqi government. But then, you know, having very strong identity as a Kurd or a Shia or a Sunni.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think we can hope for anything more than that, Joan. And maybe that would be enough.
Yeah, it may be.
I certainly hope so. Joan, let's move over and talk about global forecasts for just a little bit. You guys got a great graphic here on page one. The world economy, Joan, is going to be 3.7 this year.
At the next year.
I know.
Next year.
I like the way you guys are thinking.
Yeah, what's
but
wrong
look
with
us? But look at the Eurozone. It's going the other way.
Oops.
Joan. The Eurozone is going the other way. And we're not even in here, Joan. Where's the U.S.?
That's right. Good point.
What happened?
I don't know.
How can you have a global forecast without the U.S., Joan? This is a typo or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a fault here in this thing. Stand by. Quick break. Here's the Godfather of Soul to take us out. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. There's the Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and Joan's company has an outstanding website, Kiplinger.com, that I like to tell you about as often as I can because it's a great one. It's one that you can go to and use. A lot of good free stuff there. There's even better stuff that's in the subscription section behind the free stuff, and I encourage you to check it out as well, and that's Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger.com. Even though we say Kiplinger, the way they pronounce it, there is a G in there. And they've got you can subscribe to the weekly magazine, the weekly newsletter, I should say, the weekly letter. I'll get it right in a minute. The weekly letter, the Kiplinger letter, which has been going on now since 1923 in this family-owned business for all that time. And that's what Joan and I work off of. Then they've got the bi-weeklies, the California letter, the agriculture letter, and then there's that tax letter, huh, Joan?
I would call that the flagship, except that's not true, and I would get in trouble.
But you'd like to, wouldn't you?
I'd love to.
Because you spend a lot of time working on the tax issue, I know. And
sure
then there's the, then there's the magazine.
Yes, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And it's available in newsstands or by subscription. And you can subscribe on the website and also phone number, right, Joan?
Yes, our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
You know, Joan, moving toward the bottom of page two, I've been reporting quite a bit over the years about how China has been a real problem with stealing our intellectual property. And they have. I mean, we actually reported on that with an expert only about a week ago about how much China is ripping off. And some of the things, Joan, that we were told that they're stealing just would just blow you away. I mean, some medicine like Procrit, I think it's Procrit's the cancer medicine. They were flooding the market with imitation knockoff Procrit, and it was getting into the marketplace, Joan.
Wow.
It was not high quality medicine.
Right.
But
right.
People might have been getting it and didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. And you've heard me say before, Joan, with China, we shouldn't fear their weapons. We should fear their stealing of our intellectual property. Well, now comes Kiplinger with this new report on Russia, Joan. What's this all about?
Well, we're saying that it wants to join the World Trade Organization, but it may have trouble doing so because it's not doing enough to protect intellectual property rights.
Mm-hmm. And they are number two behind
China.
Exactly.
Right.
According to Kiplinger.
And we talked here about, just as you're pointing out, counterfeit prescription drugs and also liquor.
But, you know, Joan, And I've said this before, I'm more optimistic about China coming into the world of nations, becoming a player, a serious and a competitive and a disciplined player than I am Russia.
Why is that?
I don't know why. I just think that there's more fertile soil for capitalism, which sort of implies some level of ethics than I am in. I just think that capitalism is going to be going to find a more of a root, a fertile soil for to have a good root in China than in Russia.
Well, it'll be Russia, interesting to see. Yeah.
Well, Russia has, you know yourself, Joan, Russia has backslid in terms of coming into the 21st century. They're reverting, aren't they, over there?
Well, politically, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really concerned about that. But again, folks, the biggest danger we have right now is not nuclear weapons from these countries. It's stealing our stuff. Because, Joan, as you know, we don't make a lot of stuff anymore. Not like we used to.
No.
A lot of the things that we make are not stuff that you can hold. It's intellectual property. It's services and brands.
Right.
And things like that. And so it's a real challenge. Joan, let's move down a little bit further and talk about some office technology. Online legal services are back. Tell us about that.
Well, I hadn't realized this, but I guess they apparently made a disappointing debut several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're saying, you know, this is starting up again, and it's going to save money, which I think should be very important for small business owners who may want to cut costs instead of going out and hiring attorneys or things like that.
Joan, small business owners are notorious for needing information. I need it myself. We need lots of information, but we're notorious for not getting the information that we need, partially because we don't always know where to go and get it, partially because we think it's going to cost too much, and partially because we don't really appreciate how much we can benefit from the information, and so we just don't go knock on the door of an attorney and say, will you help me, or knock on a consultant's door and say, will you help me, and so oftentimes we do without it. So anything that can be made available to small business owners to get them the answers that they need and the resources they need as easily as possible, as inexpensively as possible, in my opinion, is a good thing.
Well, and look at the types of services, preparing employment documents, sales contracts, leases, software licenses, and non-disclosure packs. So those are all things that a good small business owner has to have at his or her fingertips.
Right. And many of those, Joan, that you just mentioned are kind of boilerplate. You could actually, I mean, and then, folks, I don't want to minimize the importance of having an attorney. In fact, when I have an attorney do something for me, I tell them, when you write this document, you be prepared to defend it, because we may have to go to court with this document. But still, there are some things that don't require, you know, a lot of time with an attorney. And so I'm glad some of these things are being made available to small business owners. We're going to move on with some other issues right after these messages with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors.
You're not quite money, little. Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
Welcome back.
Watching the tide.
There's the late, great Otis Redding, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame, not late yet, and maybe not even great yet, but thank goodness I'm not late. Joan Pride is our guest. She is certainly in our dimension, still in our dimension right now, and she's our good friend, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, let's move over to page 3 and talk a little bit about Congress. You know, does the new Congress have the potential to become a do-nothing Congress, Joan?
Well, we think there's a risk there, definitely.
Why do you say that?
Why do we say that?
Yes.
Well, because the Democrats made a big point of saying that they could do a better job of governing than the Republicans, so the onus is kind of on them to show some leadership and get going and pass some legislation.
But the Democrats' own people, their own group, their own caucuses,
their own peeps,
their own peeps have been a little problematic, haven't they?
They certainly have, and we're saying their batting average is zero.
Whoa, zero.
Yeah.
What would happen to 100 hours? What happened to the first 100 hours,
Well,
Joan?
They passed that stuff, but it hasn't gotten all the way through Congress.
Right. So do you think Ms. Pelosi was a little bit, she kind of said some things and made some predictions that she hasn't been able to back up?
Well, you know, she never promised you a rose garden.
You know, last night at the soiree last night with the radio and television correspondents' ball, where President Bush made a few, you know, kind of humorous comments about Ms. Pelosi, and she only slightly smiled. She didn't act like she was getting into the whole thing. I mean, she was a little bit of a, I don't know. He said, you know, some people, you know, ask if we are getting along, the speaker and I are getting along. Some people have said she's bossy and opinionated and hard to deal with. He said, of course I know how to get along with her. I get along with my mother.
That was good.
Well, the group liked it, but she only smiled just a little bit.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, she should be able to laugh at herself.
She needs to get a little bit of, you know, maybe she needs to have a sense of humor infusion or something there, Joan.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she needs. Anyway, it's interesting to see how if you know when we look back on what the Republicans didn't get done. And now the Democrats, you guys are giving them, not me, folks, Kiplinger, send them the cards and letters, are saying they get a zero, an F for their work so far in the first couple of months or so. It just shows how, what a herd of cats it must be to deal with, to try to get something through in Washington, D.C.
And the polarization and not even just the partisanship necessarily, because you can have divisions within your own party.
Mm-hmm.
There's still gridlock there.
Well, I know some of the conservative Democrats in their caucus, and they're not all that happy with Ms. Pelosi, and they weren't all that looking forward to her before.
Right, they never wanted her in the first place.
Beforehand,
that's true.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
that's right.
So it'll be interesting to see how things go.
She was branded a San Francisco liberal from the beginning.
I think she branded herself there, Joan. I don't think she had to have any help with that. Let's move over to page 4 and talk about the Fed. Of course, kept rates steady last week, and this week the chairman Ben Bernanke spoke to Congress, didn't he?
Yes, and a lot of his talk was about what they call the subprime lending market, which is folks who really didn't qualify who got loans, and now many are defaulting. So the question becomes, do you regulate that industry more carefully?
Right. And so what did he say?
Well, apparently the Fed is considering regulations, but they have to be careful that they don't, you know, snuff out the whole industry by over-regulating. So it's a tough call.
They don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right, exactly. And they're very aware of that.
We don't need a Sarbanes-Oxley kind of overreaction, do we,
right,
Joan?
Right.
See, that's what I worry about with this whole subprime lending. I'm worried about the overstatement, the hyperbole that's being spread around by the talking heads, especially, who are trying to fill up 24/7 news coverage and talking potential gloom and doom. I'm worried about those guys causing us to talk ourselves into a recession over one small part of one industry.
Right.
The subprime lending. And I'm worried about politicians overreacting like they did with Sarbanes-Oxley after the meltdown of 12 companies, not 15,000, but 12 companies back about 3 years ago. So
right.
hopefully that won't happen. Hey, Jones, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
As always, Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, and she will be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to remind you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.